Well, music is very powerful. I know as a singer, I use music myself to work through my own complex emotional issues as a form of self-soothing or as a way of escape. There's something transcendent about music. Music, we know, was used all throughout the civil rights movement, that the freedom riders on the buses and the protest marchers sang songs of freedom, of songs of overcoming, and songs of victory. Music is powerful. The Psalms in our scripture run the entire gamut of emotions, celebrating deliverance or crying out desperately for it. Today's passage tells multiple stories of people trapped in darkness, longing for a freedom song. The first person that needs a song in her darkness that we encounter in today's passage is the slave girl. Luke describes her as having a spirit of Python, that those who have the spirit served as spokespeople for the god Apollo. She, of course, did this for a fee, not that she earned for herself, but that she earned for her owners. Charles Erdman reminds us that women in distress easily become tools or toys for men. This was certainly true for this particular young woman. She was afflicted with a demon, and her owners used her for their own profit. How true this is in our world today, that women in distress easily become the tools or toys of men. Women and children of both genders are exploited for the benefit of men who use them either as cheap labor or sex toys or both. Charles Erdman challenges us that their nameless agonies are the real Macedonian cries that the church should heed today. How can we help free such victims from the bondage of evil? We must speak out against such things as human trafficking. We can help provide shelter for those in distress. My friends, the Kalars, missionaries in Thailand, work with prostitutes, many of whom have been forced into that work, sold into it by parents, or who have fled there desperately for poor families or run away to escape domestic violence in their own homes only to find more abuse and violence. The Kalars have created an organization called Samaritan Creations, in which these women learn to make jewelry and other gift items that are sold all over the world to provide these women with a new way of making a living. This kind of work gives them dignity and independence. It gives them a freedom song. We can buy such products or other fair trade products so that we know that workers are not being exploited. We can help provide things like microloans or support projects such as the Heifer Project. We can advocate for laws that make trafficking more difficult and that punish the perpetrators rather than the victims. We can support pastors and missionaries and counselors who share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who are hurting, who let them know that Jesus will never leave them nor forsake them. And we, too, can share that good news as well as our resources with those that we encounter who are in distress. So this slave girl follows Paul and Silas around every week for many weeks to the place of prayer. And the thing that she's speaking is the truth. She's not lying. She's saying that these men are slaves of God and they're preaching a message of salvation that can set you free. So why then is Paul so irritated? The word used to describe Paul's feelings about the situation includes such emotions as grief and pain, as well as anger. And although this demon speaks truth, this demonstration of power pulls people away from the true God. It's an exploitive power. In order to hear, you must pay. But the gospel is always free. It's always meant to be free. In addition, although this demon spoke truth about Paul and Silas, it was spoken mockingly. Paul commands the spirit in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and she was delivered that same hour. light is brought to the girl's darkness. She's free from an evil power that had been controlling her. In casting out the demon, Paul shows that the power of God is greater. But as a result, this girl can no longer prophesy. She's no longer able to speak for Apollo, and she can no longer make the big bucks that her owners desire. So what happens to this girl now? Her story is unresolved. We don't know very much more from what the scripture says. Yes, she's set free from this demon. Yes, she gets a taste of freedom. She experiences the power of God, but is she really, truly ever set free? Does she come to believe in the one who freed her from her bondage? What do her owners do with her now that she can no longer make money? Do they leave her on the street? Do they sell her to someone else who will abuse her in other ways? How much light was brought into the slave girl's darkness? We don't know. The scripture doesn't tell us. I would like to think that she was at least spiritually set free. I would like to believe that she joined the church at Lydia's house, that they were able to help her, but we don't know. And so this part of our scripture reading today ought to disturb us a little bit. It ought to remind us that there are people today that are both trapped in spiritual and physical bondage, longing for a song of freedom. It ought to compel us to be more aware of and to be more active to help victims of injustice, especially those trapped in modern day slavery. All the slave girl owners care about was making money. When they no longer can make money off of her, they cast her aside. But Jesus doesn't cast her aside, and Jesus doesn't cast us aside. He takes us in when no one else does. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Whether this girl ever really knows it or not, Jesus does not abandon her. He is always watching over her. The slave owners then turn against Paul and Silas. Just like the swine owners in Gennesaret, the slave girl owners are ticked that their source of income is destroyed, and so they speak out against Paul and Silas. They want to get rid of them. They use scare tactics to incite the magistrates into beating. The word used is a severe flogging, and arresting Paul and Silas without due justice, accusing Paul and Silas of breaking the law and encouraging others to do the same. And this was especially a big no-no for people who were Roman citizens, which Paul and Silas both were. But haven't we, as America, been guilty of doing the same thing when our economy is threatened? Haven't we used scare tactics to incite people to a cause, arrested people falsely without proof, used interrogation techniques contrary to the principles that our country was founded on? Are we that much different? But Paul and Silas are not in despair, though they've been falsely accused, beaten, and thrown in jail. They do not succumb to the darkness. Instead, they sing songs in the night. Most likely, these were songs of praise, perhaps part of the Hillel. Paul and Silas were living the full benefit of their eternal life. They were living into the kingdom now. Despite their physical condition, they were free in the spirit. Though bloody, bruised, and in bondage, they were free and whole in the presence of God. Again, Charles Erdman says, being on the side of Christ is being on the side of omnipotence. There is no need for despair. The other prisoners are listening to them, and listening as they sing and pray, which brought light to their darkness. And then an earthquake occurs. John Calvin reminds us that the prayers of the godly shake both heaven and earth. And God literally uses an earthquake to literally free all the prisoners, not just Paul and Silas. But interestingly, none of them escape. Even though Paul and Silas know that this earthquake is the work of the Lord, they stay because they know that they're already free. Unlike Peter, who was led out of prison by an angel, totally unaware of what was happening to him until he was standing in the street, Paul and Silas were keenly tuned in to what God was doing around them. They were so ready to respond when the prison guard came in. The prison guard was the one who was in true bondage, even though he wasn't in chains. Unlike the slave girl, he wasn't demon-possessed, but he was still in spiritual bondage. He didn't realize it, though, until his life was in danger. He knew that he would be killed if one prisoner escaped, so he decided to do it himself. But Paul calls out to stop him. The guards brush with death. Like many people who have a brush with death and realize the finiteness of life, make him aware of his own need of salvation. Calvin points out that the merciful Lord, as often as he desires, draws people to life, even through the midst of death. And whereas they justly deserve great punishment, God shows them great mercy. When we deserve death, God gave us life, life abundant and eternal. The answer to the guard's question, what must I do to be saved, was simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. The guard takes Paul and Silas to his house, just steps away, so that his whole household can hear the good news of salvation. Immediately they were baptized, probably using water from the jail well. The jailer tends to Paul and Silas' wounds, and they all share a celebratory meal together. We too get to participate in two celebratory meals this morning. The first meal reminds us of our salvation in Christ, of our true freedom. And the second meal is a meal of fellowship, reminding us that we are all equals and all family in the sight of God. The jailer is given a new song to replace his darkness. Paul and Silas are vindicated before the authorities, who quickly try to cover up their grave error and shoo them on to their next locale. Paul and Silas first, though, head back to Lydia's house to encourage the believers before setting off on their next destination. God replaces songs, darkness with songs. He puts a new song in our hearts. When we are exploited, when we are abused, when we are in distress, when we are treated unjustly, when we are imprisoned by our own fears and anxieties, when we are lost in the dark, God gives us a new song, a song in our darkness, a song of freedom, a song of hope, a song of joy, a song of peace, a song of love, a song of deliverance, a song of salvation. May you discover that new song. May you be found singing a new song that God puts in your heart. Despite whatever your physical circumstances may outwardly show you, may you sing that freedom song which dispels all darkness. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you give us a new song and you put a new song in our hearts. That you rescue us from our darkness, whatever that darkness is, both physical and spiritual. You blow it away with the glory of your light and your love. Thank you for your promise that you never leave us nor forsake us, that we cannot be anywhere that you are not, that you do not abandon us, and that you allow us to transcend and overcome our circumstances. In Christ we pray. Amen.